Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, June 11th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 161, the third paragraph down under only slightly different conditions. And it goes to the top of page 162. We'll be reading that and dissecting that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Reggie O, the 12 Traditions, Andrea S., I think I did it. Readers of the text are Roz G. and Robin P. And the share ID for Wednesday, June 10th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,787. And for this morning's meeting, earlier today, June 11th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,794. That's 14794. And let me repeat, the 10 a.m. yesterday is 14787. Our newcomer greeter is Christina K. And announcements person is Leslie M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Add a Vision for You Big Book Study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everybody. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks again.
Thank you, Reggie, for your service this morning. I will now ask Andrea S. to read the 12 traditions. Did I do that right?
Andrea S. in New Jersey.
Andrea.
Thanks.
Okay.
And good morning, Mo. Good morning, fellows. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon your OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve. Have a good day, everyone.
Well, thank you very much, Andrea S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. That is the star 1 function on your phone, not the mute function. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 161, down at the bottom, the third paragraph, under only slightly different conditions, and it goes over to the top of 162. And we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Roz G. to get us started. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And here we go. I do have some cars passing by. Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. In one of these, there is a well-known hospital for the treatment of alcoholic and drug addiction. 6 years ago, one of our number was a patient there. Many of us have felt, for the first time, the presence and power of God. Within its walls, we are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. Wow, there's a lot of directions that I can take in that paragraph, but first I would like to say is that because we've been studying this chapter and it had come in the months of, you know, April, May, and June, it was during the pandemic, and I was able to purchase a couple of Bill W. stories from, you know, some streaming services because it piqued my interest. Although I've, you know, heard the history before, I bought Dr. Bob's book, the one Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, and I watched these histories, and I can, you know, I'd like to be able to talk really well about the history of AA, like Harlan does. You know, he inspires me to look up the history. So I know that the man in the hospital was Bill W. I know that Dr. Silkworth said that his synthetic knowledge was not enough, and that he was humble enough to say, I don't have the answer, but it looks like there's a spiritual thing here that you guys have got, and you better hang on to it. And so fast forward to me coming into my very first meeting of OA, I have a religious background, and I was in church, and I went to all these beautiful, pristine churches where the, you know, we'd spend lots of money on making our buildings beautiful, which is a wonderful thing. But my first OA meeting was in a dumpy little room in a church, in a little classroom. It's kind of dumpy in there. But let me tell you, the humility and the presence of God that I believe today was there. I was able to go into that room and say, I'm jealous of my sisters. They're skinny. I'm fat. And it was the first week of January, so it was close to Christmas. And I said, my mom bought them beautiful, colorful sweaters for Christmas and bought me a black one. And you know what that means. And they shook their heads. I didn't have to say black is slimming. They already knew. And I got to, and they didn't say, boy, that sure is a petty thing. Boy, you should have been grateful for that. No, they understood how I felt. That's kindness, love, care, and compassion. Those are the attributes of my higher power. Although I didn't realize they were expressing those attributes at that time, they were. And I get to share these things on my heart in meetings. People understand me, and I think that's my time. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay, well, you had a few more seconds there, but thank you very much, Roz, for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 161 at the bottom of the page, under only slightly different conditions, reading through the top of the next page, that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will take some names of those who haven't shared in the last 2 to 3 days.
Margo.
Margo, last initial.
B. Margo B.
B. Got it.
B as in boy. Yep.
Got it. Thanks, Margo.
Thank you.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Brit V.
Brit V. As in Victor?
Yes.
Got it.
Sherry Jo C.
Sherry Jo C. Okay. I can take, let me see, I got four. I can take two more. Anybody else have a, want to pop in there? Otherwise, we'll go with that group. Okay, well, all those except Margot B, mute your phones. Thank you. And Margot, you're up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, my name is Margot, compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I love every time I listen and hear the shares, and thank you, everybody, for your service. And love the honesty, because it keeps me honest. So looking at thin people, I feel like I'm not even going to say it. And cursing under my breath and cursing them out if I think they're thin enough or something. Realize I'm not so spiritually fit around this. And what it's really about, you know? It's my frustration. It's my anger. It's my sadness. Because life is happening, not just to me, but life is happening. Somehow I think it's my fault. So let me beat myself up. Let me try to look for some sexy food or some like something so good, you know, that's going to satisfy me. And this is why I come here, because I get to be reminded that nothing, absolutely no morsel, no bag, no boxes. And I come from bags and boxes being passed out on the couch. It's going to satisfy me. Nothing, none of that. And that's why I have to speak up today, claim my seat. And also, my sponsor tells me, reminds me, it's always two sides of the same coin. So when I feel like eating and overeating and just checking out or just wanting to play with the food and starve myself, like, no, like, that's not an option for me. You know, it's just not. And because I want to be, like, a negative 100 size, because I just want to disappear. And a lot of body image stuff coming up. This is why I'm claiming my seat, knowing that God is the answer. One is too many, 100's not enough. And I just got to be with people who understand. And in terms of my higher power working through me, let them turn this stuff over, do my work. I'm blocked, and I can't afford to be blocked, and I can't afford life that happens, quote unquote, to me, change who God wants me to be, you know? And that's why I got to keep working this, and it does take so much work. Thank you so much. I'm muting.
Thank you, Margot B. Deb E., you're up next.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Deb E. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. And this first line, under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities, makes me think about how I can find OA in most places I travel to and how I've gone to meetings in different cities. And although their format might be slightly different and the location is different and the people are different, the core of it is the same. And that same feeling like I'm home is there, and there's still the big book and the steps, and I've been able to find that in many different places. And that also makes me think about how my program is never on vacation. When I travel somewhere, I take it with me. I take it with me everywhere. There's no circumstance in which I just stop working my program. You know, like, oh, I'm going to take a break for a couple of days. It's a daily thing that I must work on every day, and that I'm happy to work on every day, and that I get a lot out of. And then also the last line of the paragraph. He told us of his belief in ours. When I first recognized I had an eating disorder early 90s, it wasn't very well known yet. Like, people weren't talking much about, they were just kind of starting to talk about eating disorders, and so many terms that exist today weren't even around back then. And so it wasn't even recognized, and certainly people in the medical profession, you know, the stuff I knew at the time, I didn't know of anyone really recognizing it as a problem and as a spiritual problem, you know. So this last part of the paragraph makes me think about how great it must have been for them to have someone in the medical profession to recognize that, to see what they were seeing, to understand, and to give them that, like, validation that this is not just some, you know, problem. It goes deeper than that, and that the solution is spiritual. Now, with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Deb E. Britt V, followed by Sherry Jo C. Good morning, Britt.
Hi, my name is Britt V, and I am a compulsive overeater. Many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. I feel the presence and power of God within OA. And I know that for myself, the key to my recovery is repairing my relationship with God. When I was a child, learning maladaptive ways to cope with trauma, and I started my lifelong course of overeating, I felt like God had left me. I felt that he had abandoned me. And my willfulness, my disregard for my own health and practicing overeating and binging behaviors is just an expression of my distrust for God. And so I know that as I practice abstinence, the pain is returning. It definitely is. It's very uncomfortable. But I know that that pain is an opportunity to repair that relationship and to recognize that God never abandons us. We abandon one another. We have free will as human beings. And the people that hurt me, they did so not as agents of God, but as people that were behaving badly. I thank all of you for your service, and I know that in the program, the way that we repair our relationship with God is in service to others. Thank you all so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Britt V. And before I go to Sherry Jo C., just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 161, the bottom of the page under slightly different conditions, and it just goes to the top of page 162. And after Sherry Jo, I will take some more names. Good morning, Sherry Jo. How are you?
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Sherry Jo C., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thank you so very much to everybody making the meeting possible this morning. It's such an honor to read this, to read any page with all of you, but to read this section that's really recounting, you know, the birth and the infancy of AA, this program that has literally saved my life and so many of us. And, you know, this reference to Dr. Silkworth and, you know, the hospital for the treatment of alcohol and drug addiction where Bill Wilson was a patient. You know, Dr. Silkworth, he legitimized, provided so much legitimacy at that time because there were many that, questioned the approach. And it was a risk for him to, you know, offer his opinion. And it says so here. It says, you know, although it might prejudice his own work, meaning that it could risk his own reputation, nonetheless has told us of his belief in ours. But what I love about this section, this, you know, as I said, the recounting of the birth and the infancy and the maturing of AA is I think, you know, for all of us, you know, when we come here and we commit ourselves to what I like to think of for myself personally as, you know, I'm here to stay, continuous uninterrupted abstinence, is that I get to recount my own birth and my own infancy and my own growth in my program. And I've always said that, you know, I believe for myself that our recovery is in the moments, just as they're recounting the moments here as they reflect back on the events that happened, the miraculous events, the people who met each other in, you know, unexpected places, the family members who complained about the, you know, hopeless alcoholic, but yet somehow then connections were made where people were brought together. And, you know, for me, I had something similar happen, and I've had it continue to happen to me through my recovery, event after event, when I look back and I can see that was not me, that was God. And, you know, when I first came into the program, I had an amazing sponsor who helped me with my food plan and get, you know, my abstinence together, because for me, you know, my eating disorder was a wrecking ball in my life. I had to be abstinent. You know, as it's said here, I had to have the ticket to the ride. And I also had a spiritual sponsor who helped me through the steps. And this was the same, you know, I can recount for myself. How was it in this little town in Michigan? I found this woman who her husband had been in the military, they'd been stationed in Camp Pendleton in California, and he had been sponsored in AA at 19 years old. We were all young then. I was only 26. He'd been sponsored by these long-term members in LA who had knew Chuck Chamberlain. They had known all of, you know, many of the pioneers. And so she brought to me the message that her husband had brought to her through his own program. And you know, they took me through the big book just as we're going through the big book here. So I'm just grateful to get to re-experience and reread this whole section with all of you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Sherry Jo C. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So the line's now open for more people.
Dan L.
Give me their names. Dan L. Thank you, Dan.
Connie R.
Connie?
Yep.
Was that Connie?
Connie.
Oh, Honey. Is it Honey? Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, I got it. Okay.
Danielle J.
Who was that in between there?
Gusty N.
Betsy N.
It's Gusty like the wind.
Oh, Dusty. Okay.
Yes. It's unusual, I know.
Gusty N. Okay.
Oh, it's Jordan L.
Jordan L. One more? Going. Okay. I've got Dan L.
Laureen W.
Laureen W. Thank you, Laureen. You'll be the number six. Laureen W. Okay, I have Dan L. I have Honey R., Danielle J., Gusty N., Jordan L., and Laureen W. Okay, Dan L., you'll be up first.
Thank you, Mo.
Honey R. Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. My name's Dan. I'm a food addict, and I just wanted to share. Maybe it was shared yesterday, but I wasn't here yesterday. But yesterday was the birthday of AA, and in 1935, that was the last day that Dr. Bob took a drink, and that's celebrated as the birthday of AA. And I just kind of wanted to share that. And, you know, back in those days, life was different. I'm looking at this online right now, too, on big TV. But, you know, Bill Wilson let Dr. Bob move in with him when he first got sober, you know. And things were different back then. You know, the way people helped people in recovery, you know, you could tell by when we read the book, you know, the words they use and stuff like that. Anyways, so, you know, this meeting's so much about the big book. I just wanted to share that in case anybody didn't know or it didn't get shared yesterday. Thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Dan L., for the history. Yeah, we did talk about that. Honey R., followed by Danielle J. Good morning.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Connie from New Jersey, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for this meeting. And I've been listening to these meetings now for about, I would say, a month. And I'm just so appreciative at the different way that I'm learning to work the steps, which is so different than from what I did for the past 5 years. I thought I was abstinent, and I was maybe with food, but I wasn't abstinent in the way I related to God. And now, it's like a peace and serenity came over me that by taking step two, all I need to do is say, okay, God, I'm ready to jump in. Instead of hashing it out and analyzing, do I trust him? Do I not trust him? And then I'm going to ask him for help, and then he's not going to give it to me, so then I can't trust him. And getting stuck in all that stuff, that's not abstinent for me. That's you know, staying in my own head and doing what I want to do. And wanting God to be the director, but through me, like I want to tell him what to do and to do it my way. But today, it's very different. I just qualified by my home group last night, and I didn't even plan anything that I was saying. I just asked God right before. I said, just please put the words in my mouth that are good for the people that I'm speaking to and for myself. And I heard myself saying things that there were just words coming out of my mouth. And I kept saying things like, oh, and at this point in my abstinence, I had that person. And I was like, wait, who did that for me? Who made sure that I had all the, you know, the agents that I needed at that point that are not working for me today, but they worked then? My higher power did that for me at every single step of the way, every single part of my life. Maybe I wasn't able to see it then, but I can see it now. And that means that when things happen today that I'm frustrated about, or I'm not sure about, or I'm worried about, it's like, one second, the same higher power that did all that for me, same one, he's right here. So I'm just so appreciative that I'm able to look at it now with an open mind. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Honey R. Danielle J., followed by Gusty N. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Danielle J. from Bellevue, Washington. And I don't know that I discovered God when I came into the rooms, but I know that I was able to talk about God, and that hadn't been something that I was able to do as a kid, or certainly not. It was kind of like this secret little God, kind of this childlike secret God, which, you know, I had attributed to a lot of fear, and so I had a lot of fear of God, but God was definitely there. But being able to be in the rooms and be able to talk about God freely, and of course then, you know, learning about how God is, you know, loving and things, which was actually kind of hard for me in the beginning. But, you know, over time, and then also, you know, the fact that they were in a hospital, and just getting, you know, even though there were things that Bill could add to, you know, what Dr. Silkwor, and I love it that he called him Silky. It was so cute. But, you know, that he could add, but that the, you know, the experience, the vast experience of the people in the hospital. And I, when my husband, he, you know, we kind of did an intervention and he went into treatment. And, but the family programs in there, I started to feel pretty cringy. And I started to go, ooh, you know, because it was all about him. And then in there, I started to realize, oh, crap, I have a problem. Because I had been able to hide that before. You know, I wasn't the one with the problem, but I was the one with the problem. So those two things just spoke to me. So thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Danielle J. Gusty N., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Gusty.
Good morning, everyone. This is Gusty N., recovered compulsive eater in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. I love what's been shared already and wanted to pick up on the theme of the power and presence of God in my life, in the life of the program, and how powerful that is wherever we find it, whether it's in the hospital where our first 100 recovered folks found it in this story, or whether it's in that church basement that is pretty grungy, or out here on the back porch where I currently am right now with the sun shining and the birds calling. And that power and presence of God is really the foundation for all of it. And it's amazing how easy it is to forget that, because, you know, we get focused on our food plans and on what it means to be abstinent, all of which is really, really important. But without that power and presence of God, it just becomes another diet. And I had to learn that the hard way. I've been a chronic relapser with thinking that I've worked the steps, and really, as I think another person said earlier, you know, I'm following my higher power's lead by telling my higher power what to do with me. It always gets so crazy. And I'm one of those people who, after really probably years of going through the steps and thinking I had recovery and would relapse, went on something of like a 5-month binge and had to really, really hit that complete bottom place of just complete and utter disgust with myself. I wasn't hospitalized, but was very ill. And in the middle of pandemic, you know, this was several months ago, 3 months ago, maybe 2 months ago now. You know, woke up one day with what others have termed being struck abstinent. And that's a whole different feeling. And it is only by the power and presence of God that I can claim any kind of abstinence. You know, going through those first couple of weeks of the fog and the feeling like just utter blech, when you're in detox mode, and but that feeling of being in the hands of my higher power consistently hasn't gone away. I do have to keep spiritually fit, or else it will go away. But I just want to offer gratitude to the power and presence of God, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gusty. Thank you very much. All right, Jordan L., followed by Lorene W. Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone on the line. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. And super grateful to be on the line this morning. So we are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. And I think about that, right? You got this doctor here who, like, his career kind of depends on, like, him being able to have all the answers, right? Like being able to kind of play God in a sense. That's kind of like, kind of what that's what doctors, like, they're saving lives and stuff, you know? And his credit depends on having all the answers. And he's like, he's actually, this guy is like actually willing to stand up, put aside that fact and say like, medicine doesn't have the answers. Like, I don't really understand what's going on with these guys. I don't really know. As he said back to Bill, back when Bill told him about like what had happened, like, bro, anything is better than the way you were. Like, hang on to it, you know? it's such a crazy thing to consider, that sort of selflessness, to consider like a doctor who's willing to put his career on the line, to be able to say like, I don't understand what's going on here, but I believe in it, you know? And this, like, this thing probably wouldn't have taken off if he hadn't been willing to do that, you know? And it wasn't even like he didn't gain anything from it. Absolutely nothing. There was nothing that Dr. Silkworth gained from any of this except to be able to see some drunks get sober, you know? Like, that was it. It's just crazy to think about that. That's the presence and power of God. Is like a human being willing to sacrifice his own stuff in that way, you know? Like, that's the presence and power of power of God, this higher power, you know? That's the conception that I've come to know in 12-step programs. It's really cool. It's a very, very, very powerful thing. So anyway, that's all I got.
Well, thank you, Jordanelle. And before we go to Laureen W., we do have time for some more shares, maybe three or four. We're on page 161, the bottom of the page, under only slightly different conditions, that one paragraph only. So I'll take Laureen now.
Hi.
Good morning.
This is Laureen, compulsive overeater, and very pleased to be on this call today. And thank you all for your service. And, you know, it's interesting to read this, that although he might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief. And I'm a nurse, and I worked in pediatrics for many, many years. And how credible could I be, being 300 pounds and trying to teach nutrition to teenagers? That doesn't flow. And they actually took me down on that a couple of times, the patients themselves. You know, how can you be an authority when you don't have the issue, you know? And it made me realize that in OA, now I have the credibility to talk about a healthy diet and have lost over 100 pounds and being credible about my healthy food plan. And that's important to me. And also, as a nurse, and I'm still working as a nurse, I can be credible because of OA and my higher power. I also, in reading this, think a lot about step 11, and that I have gained a much better spiritual contact with my higher power. It's been amazing. I always believed in God, and I had religion, and I followed my religion, but I needed to have this spiritual contact that God will help me in this disease. And didn't realize until 27 years ago that I had this disease. And I am so appreciative of program, but very appreciative for Visions for You, because the clarity, the honesty, and the amount of sharing that I've heard over the last few years has really enhanced my program tremendously. And thank you all. I pass.
And thank you, Laureen. So, again, we're on page 161, the bottom of the page. And if you shared in the last two or three days, please let others go ahead of you. I have about three open spaces. for those of you who'd like to share.
Marge O.
Marge O.
Bob H.
Bob H. And there was somebody after Bob.
Rella R.
Say that again.
Rella.
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 Okay. Giving me hard names this morning. Okay. We have Marge O, Bob H, and Rella R. All right. Marge O, you're up.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I am walking, and it's a little windy, so if it's annoying, moderator, shut off. Good day. I am in sunny Corolla, North Carolina, but I am from the Boston area and had the I feel like God allowed it, that I could come here for a week and rest. I'm currently hoping to caretake a husband with esophageal cancer, and my daughter volunteered to come, and here I am. It's wonderful to be on this meeting. I usually am on the 7 a.m. meeting, and so I don't get to hear a lot of these voices. But I just wanted to say how grateful I am that we have the Dr. Bob and the Bill and William Seltzer present this program to us, and just know that they really meant for us to keep it simple. Put the stuff down, do your work, clean your house, and help others. And it is simple, but it's not always easy. It's so easy for a day to fly by and say, darn it, I only made one extra call today. And I'm a believer in helping others and just making contact and saying hello. And how's your day going? So when mine feels like, holy cow, how am I going to do all this? And to think that all day long at different times, for me, my higher power is just intertwined with everything I do. God help me do this. Let me let go of that. The relationships are 400 times better than they ever were with everybody, not just my kids or my husband or my family, but out there. So that I'm not such a sensitive person who's looking all the time to get a little attention, or I did this right, I did this well, somebody pat me on the back. No, just do it. You do the best job you can. And to let others take over. My daughter and the nurse figured something out that we've been trying to figure out for 2 weeks. And my daughter comes in and she does it. And I'm thrilled. I don't feel like, oh, how could she do that? I've been trying to work that out regarding my husband's food. For weeks. And they did it in a week without me. So how's that? I think it's marvelous. So just thank you, God, for this program. And thank you, God, for reading this whole chapter, paragraph at a time, because I had never done that before. And I've been in programs about 40-something years. So thank you all for listening, and thank you for being there. And thank you, moderator, for doing all that you do.
Oh,
thank
welcome.
You and goodbye.
Thanks, Marjo, yeah, for joining in with us. All right.
Thank you.
Next is Bob H., followed by Rella R. Bob?
Oh, yeah, Bob H. I'm not abstinent, but I'm coming to meetings, and I don't have a program yet. I don't have a sponsor, but I just want to claim my seat this morning, and thank you so much for the program. I'm going to keep coming back, and by just being here, it gives me confidence that maybe I could do this too. Thank you very much. I pass.
Well, thank you, Bob. And if you stay on at the end of the meeting, sponsors will announce their names, so there may be the right person for you. Rella R., you're next.
Hi, everyone. This is Rella R. Thank you, moderator, for your service. I did not read the reading, but I came on late, and I've heard from the shares that...
Rella, are you on a speakerphone?
Oh,
can't hear you too well.
You not hear me? Oh, one second. Oh,
not
I know what's
well.
Happening. Okay. Yeah, okay. Is this better?
Much better. Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, one of my earbuds fell out, the one next to the mic. Thank you. I'm Rella, recovering compulsive overeater, recovering adult child, recovering codependent. I did not hear the beginning reading. However, I've been hearing shares about God, and I wanted to publicly proclaim my gratitude to God. I'm so grateful for this program that it incorporates the spiritual. I've never, in all my years, I haven't come across a food program that put such a focus on God, and in the and in the process. And I'm building on a previous share that was inspiring to me and that resonated with me, that calling out and recognizing that I needed God to help me to stay abstinent, just recalibrated my whole relationship with God. I grew up observant. I grew up knowing about God. And I learned to pray very fervently, but it was a lot of sadness. I experienced a lot of loss in my childhood. I'm a child of two Holocaust survivors. So there was a lot of pain and grief and anger there that I obviously didn't recognize as a child. But all of this kind of came swimming up for me. And I've had to deal with a lot of this stuff, because if I was going to call upon God wholeheartedly to help me, then I needed to, you know, reconfigure. And I also particularly am profoundly grateful for those few little words in italics in the 12 steps that said, God of my understanding, as I understand him. It gave me permission to incorporate all my feelings about God and all my experiences with him. And to it allowed me to expand and say, God is big enough for all of that. He's big enough for my sadness. He's big enough for my anger. He's big enough for the pain. And not only that, he's big, but yet he's also intensely interested in me. And that's something I'm still working on. It's an ongoing relationship, an ongoing dynamic. And it's helped me not to be black and white about it, not to be like, either I've got faith or I don't have faith. It's like my faith is always in process. And sometimes if I see it as a continuum, I'm on a 2 or I'm on a 4. So I'm not always at 10. In fact, I'm rarely at 10. You know, I may slide up to an 8 or a 9, and there are times when I feel really connected. So, but I'm comforted by the fact that it's progress, not perfection, and that the relationship is ongoing, and I'm not giving up on it, and he's not giving up on me. So thank you all for listening, and with that, I'll pass.
Perfect. Thank you, Rella. We have time for a quick 2-minute share if somebody would like to take it that hasn't shared in the last few days. If not, we'll go on to ending the meeting and getting sponsored.
Hi, I'm Chris. Chris W.
Chris. Okay, Chris,
hi.
Go ahead. I'll give you about 2 minutes, okay, Chris?
Yes. All right, then. Thank you. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater from London. It's lovely to be with you. This paragraph really, it's interesting that it's near the end of the section of the kind of the instructions, but it loops right back to the beginning of, you know, where it all started. And the fact that, you know, that this has grown and grown and grown so much. And, you know, from OA has from AA has come OA and all the other anonymous fellowships. So I just wanting to express my gratitude, really, that, you know, I have been fortunate to be born in a time when this is available to me. And OA has really helped me to find a spiritual solution to my addiction problems, and that is a relationship that is quite new to me, but something that is growing and really infusing my life with a lot of joy and a lot of healing. So yes, thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much for sharing, Chris. So thank you all for who participated in this meeting, those who gave service and those who shared and those who listened. So we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let me see here. I have Robin P. to read page 164 for us.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fast for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.